Blog Talk Radio.
Live with Barrett. I'm so sorry to all of you who've been listening. It's been really challenging for some reason to get connected this morning, and we're supposed to have a very special guest today. I see that I have someone on the line. Teresa, is that you?
Yes, it is me, Barrett. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. I'm so sorry, hon. It was really difficult to connect. Oh, goodness. Well, this is Live with Barrett, and I'm your host, Barrett Clemington-Powell, and we've been talking this week with some very special people, some wonderful women entrepreneurs that I have been able to connect with, and today we are talking with Teresa L. Greenway, who makes something so tasty, so wonderful, and she's taken something that started out maybe as a hobby, but also was a childhood enterprise, shall we say, and basically has turned it into a baking empire. So, Teresa, I would love it if you would start off by telling people about a cupcake stand.
I was only 10 years old, and I made cupcakes, and I actually went around the neighborhood door to door and sold the cupcakes for a quarter each and made good money. And I sold other things when I was a child. So I've been an entrepreneur for a very long time.
Okay, that's quite a story, not the usual lemonade stand story.
Nope.
No. All right, so I have come across you through a group of women who are, I would say, are my colleagues in the sense that we make online courses for different things. And I would love for you to talk about from the entrepreneurial side, but I really want people to know what it is that you are particularly doing, because I looked at your course and I said, hey, I can do that. I can actually do that. Tell us about this tasty enterprise you have built and the name of it so that people will actually know about this, because this is just absolutely wonderful. I love this particular thing you do.
Well, thanks, Barrett. I did a Udemy course, and it's called Rediscover Real Artisan Sourdough Baking. And I've been teaching sourdough baking for about 11 years now. And my real interest is in teaching new bakers, people that are real interested in making a loaf of sourdough bread and have either no baking experience or they bake bread, but they would really like to learn how to bake sourdough. So the course is really for teaching a new baker, how to bake sourdough.
Okay, now this is a bread that has a starter, isn't it?
Yeah, you make your own sourdough starter. You capture the wild yeast, And that's all in the course. I have a day-by-day video playlist that's linked off the course, and it will show you day-by-day how to make your own sourdough starter. And then you use the starter to make sourdough bread.
Okay, how did you get started with deciding this was your thing, making sourdough?
Well, about 11 years ago, my oldest daughter decided to get on the internet. She was interested in making a real loaf of sourdough because we had always lived in areas where they sold the real sourdough bread. And she thought, well, maybe I could make some. So she got on, and for about a month, she did everything she could to try to make sourdough bread. But 11 years ago, there was very little available as far as information. And so,
none of these recipe sites had any, or were these recipe sites around?
No.
I wasn't really
online. It was very difficult to find any information on how to make sourdough bread. There was lots of recipes for, you know, baking regular yeasted bread, but to bake a loaf of sourdough, the information was very scarce, and the bakeries were not sharing their information. So, after a month of trying, she gave up, and she came in to me, and she said, "Okay, Mom, nobody can bake real sourdough bread." And that was my challenge. I kind of went, "Oh, nobody can?" And then I started experimenting. It took me a good month of experimenting before I came up with a loaf that had a crispy crust, and it had the blisters on the outside, and it crackled as it cooled. And I was hooked. I was totally hooked from that moment on, and I've been hooked ever since.
I'm getting hungry, very hungry right now. I need a sourdough bowl of bread with some New England clam chowder in it.
Yum.
Oh, that sounds absolutely delicious. Well, that's amazing to me. If you could just backtrack a little bit and say, why might that have been that for some reason no one was putting that out there? It makes me think of, I had read the book that Bruce Lee's widow wrote about him, and saw the movie also. And he actually, when he came to the United States and he started to teach his form of martial arts, and he was called in. This is in San Francisco, I believe. He was called in by some older folks in the community, in the Chinese community, and they actually told him he was forbidden to teach the Gai Jin or something about the martial art he was teaching. He was forbidden to teach it to anyone essentially who wasn't Chinese. And if he did, essentially they said they were going to kill him. So now,
oh my gosh,
sourdough.
I think from the time of the Second World War, the production of bread was mechanized, and it took Professor Calvel in France earlier, maybe 20, 30 years ago. He started a bread revolution where he said, our bread tastes terrible. We need to reclaim some of the old artisan ways of making bread again. And it did start a revolution. And the revolution eventually came to the United States. One of the first people that followed that was Nancy Silverton in her book, La Brea Bakery. And I was able to get a hold of her book, and that was one thing that helped me to out how to make real sourdough bread. So there was not a lot available because a lot of the regular bakeries, they don't know how to make sourdough. Most of them still don't. You have to go to an artisan bakery or a bakery where they understand how sourdough works. So the ones that did know how to make sourdough, they were keeping it under wraps.
Okay, so in a way, you're sort of leading the way here.
I don't think, yes, it's not just me. There's a whole pack of us that have jumped on that bandwagon since about, 10, 11 years ago. And we've gone with it. And now you can find really good bread almost everywhere now. It's just wonderful.
Okay. Now you've put your expertise into online courses for people to be able to see you as you do it, to do it along with you. And then you've also written some, are they just hardback books or are they e-books?
Yeah, I have a four-volume book. Total, it's 400 pages, and it's called Discovering Sourdough. It's an ebook. It's available on Amazon and on Etsy. And that particular series of books takes you from beginning sourdough through all the way through to advanced sourdough. And what my real thrust is it's so wonderful to pull a loaf of real sourdough bread that's crispy and crackly with a wonderful crust and a soft, open, airy crumb that I really think that anyone should be able to do that.
Okay. Wow. Well, now, looking at this from the entrepreneurial aspect, when you started out, I mean, were you thinking, okay, I'm going to teach X amount of people, I'm going to reach the world? What were you thinking when you said, okay, I'm going to bake the best loaf of sourdough in existence? What was your plan there as an entrepreneur?
I was just so excited that I could bake that kind of bread that I got online and learned how to make how to do HTML, and I put together a website, and I got a forum, and I started pulling people in, and I was just so excited about what I was doing that it excited a bunch of other people, and it just flew on its own. I started selling my own sourdough starter. I dried it and sold it. And then I started selling sourdough baking equipment because everybody wanted to bake with whatever I baked with. And so I did that for a while, but my real passion wasn't in selling equipment or selling sourdough. I really wanted to teach. I have so much fun teaching other bakers how to bake that I kind of dropped the other stuff, and I went with writing and publishing and doing this new course.
Wow. That sounds really, really great. That sounds really great.
I've also got almost 100 videos now on YouTube showing all aspects of sourdough baking. Some of the conferences I attended, videotaped the other master bakers showing their technique, and I'm going to continue to do that. So my channel, Northwest Sourdough, on YouTube is a gold mine for learning about baking.
So you've also branched out online courses, ebooks, and an online YouTube channel. So these are your methods of entrepreneurial outreach. So
yes,
how would you say, if you had to look at things, what would you say has been most successful for you, and what would you say has been the most challenging thing for you in pulling all this together?
I think the learning curve of making a good video, which I'm still learning, has been the most difficult, but it's also been the most fun learning how to to do good audio, to do the video editing, working with video editors, the soft work. I think that that whole video stuff has been the most challenging for me, but I have found that I really enjoy it.
Yes, and I know that you've been working really hard on making some incredible videos so that people can enjoy the experience even more. Now, when you were first starting out as an entrepreneur, what would you say was what was kind of your process? What was challenging? What was easy to do in terms of getting started? Because people that are listening, okay, well, yes, I could bake, but how am I going to turn this into a business? How am I going to turn this into my side hustle or my full time business? So what would you say to who wants to start out to do this? I would say the best industry chef there is.
I would say first follow your passion. If you really like writing about what you're doing, then write. If you want to jump into selling stuff that has to do with your passion, you know, do that. I made the mistake of selling when I was really more interested in teaching and writing.
Okay.
So find your passion. Follow your passion.
Okay. And follow your passion in terms of how you want to share your gift, how you want to get this business started.
Yeah.
Okay. Out of all that you're doing, writing, you do, of course, is the baking, but you're writing, you're making courses, you're doing things. What is your favorite thing about your business?
I think the video has been my favorite, and I've done the writing for quite a while, and I enjoy that. But doing the video has been a new thrust for me, and I've really been enjoying that a lot. To be able to be on camera and instead of explain on paper how to do something, I just show everyone how to do it. I think I've really been enjoying that, and I think for me I think it's pretty obvious. It probably is the best way.
Okay. Well, let's take a little bit of a break here. I want to get a glass of water, and then let's talk a bit about more about the entrepreneurial side of your baking business. My name is Barrett Clemson-Powell. This is Live with Barrett, and we're talking with Teresa L. Greenway. She has Northwest Sourdough, and she makes a wonderful loaf. I'll be back in a moment to talk about her entrepreneurial enterprise. So stay with us, and we'll be back. Oh my God. Hello and welcome back to Live with Barrett. I'm your host, Barrett Clemson-Powell, and today we are talking with the CEO, founder, creator of Northwest Sourdough, Teresa L. Greenway. Teresa?
Hello.
Hi. Okay. Well, what I would really love is if you could walk me through, you don't have to give away all your secrets, but can you kind of walk us through making a loaf of sourdough? And not really, just if I know nothing about this, to be honest, I think I've actually made one loaf of bread once with some flour, basic bread, flour and water, and just sort of threw it in the oven. And it turned out okay the first time. Second time, it was rather burnt on the outside. I wasn't so good. The first time, I really thought I did a great job. The second time, it just wasn't really edible. So walk me through from ingredients to process. When I go to the store, what am I getting?
Okay, Barrett, first off, I would like to tell you that I have found, since I've been teaching for 11 years, that A new person that's never baked at all actually seems to find it easier to bake sourdough than someone who's baked their whole life. Sometimes they have a lot of unlearning to do before they can bake a good loaf of bread. So you're actually at an advantage. To get started, well, the most basic sourdough has flour, water, salt, and the culture, and that's it.
Just regular all-purpose flour?
Oh, you can use all-purpose flour. Some people use bread flour, but all-purpose flour makes a wonderful loaf of sourdough. And so you would start by mixing water and flour together and setting it out so that it can ferment. And what happens is people used to believe that yeast in the air was attracted to that and it started to ferment. But what they know now is the microorganisms necessary for that type of fermentation are already on the grain, much like the yeast covering the grapes that makes wine. So you mix the flour and water, and you get the ferment going, and there's a certain process to it, and I have that in a video series in my course and on YouTube.
It'll
get going in a couple of days, but for a starter to mature and be strong enough to make a loaf of bread, it really takes about 10 days to 2 weeks.
Okay, that I actually can understand because I did one other time get something from someone gave me for Amish friendship bread, and it was something that they said it took them a couple of days to make the cup of starter that they gave me for a loaf. I broke the chain of Amish friendship, and I didn't do it, you know, and hand it on. I just made my bread.
That is a form of sourdough. It's often started with a commercial yeast, but that is a form of sourdough.
But it takes, what I mean is that it takes a process. It takes, not something that happens overnight.
No, it's not usually overnight, and the reason why is because the microorganisms, when you first mix water and flour, the microorganisms sort of fight it out, and the culture has to become acidic enough for the right microorganisms to flourish, and that takes a little bit of time, and so often early in the process, you might have a starter that looks like it's not working, or it might smell really bad because the bacteria in there are fighting it out. And eventually, the correct microorganisms establish themselves, and then you have a mature starter.
Okay. So now I have my starter. What am I going to do?
Okay, so there's a lot of different formulas.
Are we talking that I have a cup of starter or I have 2 cups of starter?
It just depends. There's different hydrations of starters, and hydration means how much water is in a dough or a batter. Most bakers keep their starter at 100% hydration, which means the same weight of flour and water. It's kind of like a muffin mix. Or a thick pancake batter, but it just depends upon your formula. I would say an average formula would take about 100 grams of sourdough starter per loaf.
Okay. All right.
That's so just an average starter. One, though.
Okay.
You would feed your starter and make sure it's active. Then you would mix up your formula, and there's thousands of different variations, but you would mix the starter with water and flour and sometimes salt, sometimes not. There's a certain method called an autolyse where you leave the salt out and let the dough rest before you add salt, which makes a really nice loaf of bread. But so you would go ahead and mix your dough up, and then sourdough bread is a process of long fermentation. You don't want to do it quickly because you don't get the flavor and you don't get the chewy texture or all of the wonderful things about sourdough. You don't get it in a short amount of time. It takes a long time, which is why it's part of, it's called slow food. Yes, anyway, so you mix up
that. Yes, slow food.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a lot of people doing fermentation. It's all called slow food. So you have your dough, and some people knead their dough. But what usually happens is we have a process called folding dough, where you let the dough sit, and you come back every so often, and you fold it. And when you fold it, it aligns, it stretches out and aligns the gluten, and it makes the dough stronger. And time itself will develop gluten. You don't really need to knead sourdough. It's something that
you don't need to knead it.
The no knead sourdough is really popular, but you don't need to knead it because it takes so long, and the process of time itself develops the gluten. So you,
this is definitely not folds. People, the gluten free who are doing gluten free, they won't be able to eat sourdough.
Well, actually, there's a lot of people that that have a gluten intolerance that do enjoy sourdough if sourdough is done correctly, because the process of real sourdough modifies the gluten strands. It pre-digests them in such a way that people with gluten intolerance very often find they can tolerate real sourdough bread.
Ah, okay. I thought, there's more sourdough for me because there are all these people who have gluten intolerance who won't be able to eat it.
Well, so a lot of them can. And very often diabetics will find that it doesn't spike their blood sugar like regular yeasted bread. Of course, you know, people with celiac or diabetes need to be under their doctor's care because that's a more serious condition.
Okay. All right. So let's keep going. Take us from there.
Okay. So it takes, I would say an average formula would take 4 to 6 hours of your bulk proof, which is the first fermentation. And, and then you would shape your loaves. And then the next stage very often is called retardation. The dough is cooled down by being put into the refrigerator. So you shape it, and you cover it, and you put it in the refrigerator, usually overnight. And so then it has all night long to ferment at a real cool temperature. So you can see this is
really
a real long process.
This requires a lot of patience.
No, actually, it takes very little hands-on time, and you can almost ignore it. Most of it is done while you're doing other things. It's actually pretty handy. So you ignore your bread all night, and in the morning, you take it out, let it warm up. Some people put it directly into the oven after being overnight in the refrigerator. I usually proof mine warm. I will warm it up and then pop it into a really hot oven. I start out at 500 degrees Fahrenheit and then turn it down to 450 while it's baking.
Okay.
So sourdough, that type of bread needs steam, and steam is really hard to get in the home oven without doing something special. The easiest way I've found of steaming a loaf of bread is to spray it with water and cover it with a roasting pan lid or something. Just cover it with something that, you know, can take the heat.
Spray with water and cover it with a roasting pan. Is there a particular oven you can buy that actually would steam the loaf?
Yeah, the bakery ovens have steam injection, and now they're coming out with some home ovens that do have steam or steam injection, but they're usually, they're for people that are seriously into their hobby because they, you know, you're starting to cost some money there.
Serious bakers. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if many of the people listening are serious bakers, but this is actually quite tempting. Wow. Okay.
Well, Barrett, if you want to try baking a loaf of sourdough, you probably would want to try one of the easier methods of steaming your bread, like covering it with a roasting pan, because you're not going to go out and buy a steam injection oven when you don't even know if you like baking yet, you know.
Oh, I like baking. I've just never tried sourdough.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that you would love it.
Okay. Wow. Now, let me ask, have you gotten us to where we're able to pull this loaf out of the oven yet?
Yeah, well, you steam it for 5 to 10 minutes of the bake, and then you finish the bake with, you know, you dry out the crust and get it nice and brown by not having anything, no steam and no cover. So, and then you pull it out of the oven and you let it cool. And as it's cooling, it will usually sing. They call it the bread song. As the really hot surrounding temperature, it will begin to shrink and crackle, and it's called the bread song.
Did I go there?
Okay. Wow. Wow. And crackle. I've never heard of bread crackling before. Okay.
Pretty wonderful.
Oh, and I can almost smell it. Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness. Wow. You really make me hungry. Yeah, this is absolutely just delicious. Okay. So let me ask, you mentioned before about having a YouTube channel. Do you have any plans for that? Any plans to expand it? Any plans to do something different with it?
I'm going to continue to expand it. I'm going to do more videos, and I'm going to expand it. And I was thinking of doing a new channel as well. But for now, I think I'll just expand it. I use it. I link off of it for when I do the teaching. Some of the in my course, some of the stuff is linked off. But mainly, I just videotape what I do, and then I try to put it on YouTube so that it's easily understood by people.
Okay. Now, YouTube channel, as far as an entrepreneur, using a YouTube channel can actually lead to something pretty significant. Do you have any aspirations for someone to see this and perhaps give you your own television, you know, prime time, or not necessarily prime time, but cooking channel on, or one of the food channels?
I've actually never thought of that. I kind of enjoy, you know, doing what I'm doing, and I'm writing a new book, and I have my course. I'm planning another course on Udemy, so I never really thought of going big time. If that came down the road, I would take a look at it. But for now, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. I really enjoy it.
Okay, but no aspirations for anything bigger than that at this moment?
No, I guess I don't have any real aspirations. I would like to see, I would like to get my new book out there. I'm also working on a personal memoir. I would like to have my writing kind of take off.
You're writing. Okay. Tell us about a memoir. Tell us about this memoir.
Yeah, I'm writing the memoir.
Why did you decide to do this?
Because I lived an unusual life, and the sourdough is just only part of that. I wrote it under a pseudonym because it actually entails abuse, an abusive life, an abusive situation, and it's been accepted for publication. It's going to be published this summer.
Wow. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
I lived for 30 years in an abusive situation. I had 10 children, and we lived in situations that were pretty incredible. And my journey was, part of my journey was to start the sourdough business. It really helped me to reclaim myself as a person. And then when I felt my life was in danger, I finally escaped 5 years ago. And at that point, I really started working on, you know, improving myself and becoming a better baker and sharing what I know.
Okay, wow. That's, you know, very interestingly enough, I have found that a lot of times when people are writing memoirs to write about their story, there has been something challenging. Such as child abuse or some kind of something that has actually contributed to their creativity, because typically it is something traumatic that causes you to tell your story, that causes you to that causes you to bring it out, to bring it forth.
I think that's true. I think that's true. And that's another aspect of what I've been doing is also helping abused women. My pseudonym also has a Facebook page and a blog, and I've reached out to help other women, and that's very satisfying for me, very fulfilling.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. So would you say that this had definitely something to do with your becoming a baker, with taking on such an extroverted profession, with what you're doing?
Absolutely. I'm an extrovert anyway. I love people. I love going to the conferences where I meet other bakers. Bakers are a wonderful community. They love to share their giving. They're just wonderful people, and I really enjoy being part of that group.
Okay, so, all right. Wow. Now, what do you hope for people to gain from your memoir?
Joy. I would like people to reach for joy. I think that it's important for people to follow their passion, to be who they are, to be true to themselves, you know, in whatever that may be. And so part of being true to myself is being a baker and sharing that. I love sharing what I learn with other people.
I gotta get out of here.
Okay. Well, wow. That's pretty heavy, and yet it's pretty significant. That's also a really great step. Wow, Teresa, you have a lot going on here. I want to just chat a little bit more. We'll take a little bit of a break here. I need another glass of water. And I want to come back with Teresa L. Greenway. This is Live with Barrett. I'm your host, Barrett Clemington Powell, and our special guest today is baking entrepreneur Teresa L. Greenway of Northwest Sourdough, and we'll be back in a moment. Hello and welcome back to Live with Barrett. I'm your host, Barrett Clemington Powell, and our special guest today is Teresa L. Greenway of Northwest Sourdough. And wow, I mean, Teresa, you come in this incredible package. mom, entrepreneur, baker, author, getting ready to put out your memoirs. I mean, this is really incredible. You're on YouTube. You've got ebooks published, 4 volumes of sourdough. This is incredible, and a process that is just something that I've never been able to tackle in the kitchen.
before we're almost kind of near the end of our time together today, but I wanted to actually drop back a bit and talk to you about the slow food. That really stuck in my mind because as you're describing this, it's about taking time. And I wondered if you have any thoughts or reflections about the slow food movement. And can kind of go back to where it began, sort of, because I'm not really sure when it began or when I began to hear about it, but I really have come to like the idea that we're taking our time and actually working with our food to enjoy our food. Can you talk a little bit about your thoughts on slow food?
Sure, Barrett. First off, I want to say that two of my children have a company called Primal Kitchen Company, and they sell equipment that has to do with slow food. And I often post on their blog having to do with slow food, some sourdough, some pickling. I've been working with making sauerkraut and pickled vegetables and stuff like that. But I think the slow food movement came about because people were just tired of junk food. They were tired of food that tasted plastic and cardboard and chemically, and they wanted food that tasted real. And the good thing about slow food is it's actually really good for you, too, because it's not only full of flavor, it's full of all of the probiotics and enzymes and things that your gut needs to be healthy. So it's pretty wonderful that we've gone back to slow food, and now when we want to eat some cheese or wine or have sauerkraut or sourdough, we can eat real food, stuff that tastes really good.
Do you think people are thinking about it in that terms? Or, for example, for me, slow food is about love. It's about cooking with love to me because, for example, growing up, we ate out very, very rarely. Pretty much all of our meals were home cooked.
Absolutely.
What do you think about that?
Absolutely. I do think that you're right about that. I think slow food means that you have to slow down and take time to make your food. It's you can't just grab it off the shelf, you know? So I think you're really right about that, Barrett. I think it slow food means love.
One thing that I have noticed, you were talking about the probiotics and things like that, is that slow cooking, which to me is just regular cooking. Growing up, for example, we had what today would be considered a very unhealthy diet. My grandmother was the cook in the house. And pretty much everything was cooked in lard, and we ate things like pig's feet. You know, we ate a lot of fat, we ate a lot of sugar, we ate a lot of things that we considered unhealthy. And not only that, we ate huge quantities of it. But yet at the same time, I was underweight. Now today we're having a problem with childhood obesity. What do you think is the difference?
Well, that's a real hard one. I think everyone's been trying to figure that one out. I do think, though, that some of the foods that you talked about, I think when you combine sugar and fat, I think that's where you're real unhealthy. I think that's where it becomes really unhealthy, especially if those fats are not good fats, but the man-made fats or fats that have been fried at high temperatures. I personally believe that fat's very good for you, and that the low-fat diet they have in schools is bad for the children. Probably your diet was healthier for you than you thought, especially when you got all that love with it. I think that going back to the good fats has been a good thing. I think that we'll turn the childhood obesity around just by indulging in our slow foods that are made with love and taste really good.
Yes, and I vote for there being more sourdough in school lunches.
Yeah. That would be great.
Your two children have a cooking. Did you want to say that again so that people might kind of get the name in their head? So your You are the owner of Northwest Sourdough, and your children have a company called?
Primal Kitchen Company.
Primal Kitchen Company.
Yeah, they sell stuff for having to do with fermentation and baking. They will sell the lams for slashing the dough, wood peels for moving dough or pizza, and all of the different types of jars and different things for making sauerkraut pickles. They sell, you know, the salts and stuff like that. They've been doing really well, and they filled a niche that's very popular.
Okay. Well, that sounds wonderful. I really want to thank you for coming on. Sorry for the technical problem with being able to get on. And actually, sometimes during the show, I get dropped off, but you can't tell.
Oh, no problem. It's been really wonderful talking to you, Barrett.
Yes, and it's been really wonderful talking with you because I've only known you online through our online connection, so it's usually typing. So it's wonderful to hear your voice and to know that you are doing some incredible things in the Northwest of the United States with a wonderful food that I urge everyone to get out there and get. Now, by the way, can we order sourdough from you or get starter or something like that? Or
You can get the starter online in a lot of different places. Just type in sourdough starter. You can make your own starter, and that's probably the best thing to do.
I'd rather follow your instructions. So I think I'm going to take your class actually, and you take your course and learn to do
that.
That
would be great.
Yeah,
love to have you in there.
So folks, check out on Udemy. I say Udemy. Some say Udemy. It's www.udemy.com. You can put in a search word such as artisan or put in Teresa L. Greenway. You should be able to, or if there's a category for food or cooking, you can find her course that way.
Or just baking.
Or just baking, and you will be able to find her course on this artisan baking. And You will not regret this. I haven't done it yet, but I'm already excited about this sourdough. So I thank you for coming on, Teresa. And you can download this podcast or listen to it at any time that you like and catch up on this. And I look forward to seeing you around the internet. And I look forward to being able to follow your instructions and make some wonderful sourdough bread. Thank you, Teresa, for joining me today.
Well, thank you so much, Barrett, for having me on. It's been really wonderful.
You're welcome. So that's it for today's episode of Live with Barrett. I'm your host, Barrett Clemenson Powell, and I wish you all a wonderful day.